Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Jamila, Text 34 to 36, but we're just going to read one of the verses. Sarva Padma Pala Shanksha Pita Kosheya Vasasa Kiritina Kundalino Lasat Pushkara Malina. Sarve cha nutna vayasa sarva charu chatur bhuja tanur nishangasipkada shanka chakram bhuja shriya disho viti mira loka kuravantak svena tejasa kim artha dharma palasya kim karana nishedata. Translation purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, "Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers. Dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, wearing very attractive helmets on your head, and earrings on your ears, you all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?" Purport. Before being introduced to a foreigner, one becomes acquainted with him through his dress, bodily features, and behavior, and can thus understand his position. Therefore, when the Yamadutas saw the Vishnudutas for the first time, they were surprised. They said, "By your bodily features, you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your own effulgence. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty? It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Yamaraj sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayan. In other words, that's one is a Vaishnav. One cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnav. The dress and bodily features of the residents of Vaikuntha Loka are properly described in these verses. The residents of Vaikuntha, who are decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments, have four arms holding various weapons. Thus they conspicuously resemble Lord Vishnu. They have the same bodily features as Narayana because they have attained the liberation of Swarupya. But they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha Loka know perfectly well that their master is Narayana or Krishna, and that they are all his servants. They are all self-realized souls who are Nitya Mukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they can conceivably declare themselves Narayana or Vishnu, they never do so. They always remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha Loka. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of the Lord Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha Loka and have nothing to do with the material world. Here the secret of devotional service is revealed, that we should render service. Of course, everyone is rendering service. Some people think that they're not rendering service, they're being served. And some people understand they're rendering service to Either we render service to the illusory material energy, or under the concept of the illusory material energy, or we render service in Krishna consciousness. Rendering service in Krishna consciousness begins with accept Adal Guru Ashraya, accepting shelter of a guru who is in disciple succession. We're not exactly accepting the shelter of the guru, we're accepting the shelter of the disciple succession. That is, those orders of Krishna come down through the disciple succession. We're trying to find out what Krishna wants us to do, so we can do that, and then if we do that, according to Krishna, we'll be under the internal energy of Krishna, the spiritual energy. And in the spiritual energy, as much as we're under it, then gradually we become aware of things as they actually are. One good thing about becoming aware of things as they are is we become aware of the fact that we're eternal. It's very unfortunate that the eternal soul, ourselves, are now thinking we're temporary. Because everything we do in the consciousness of being temporary is a waste of time. And we're wasting a lot of time. But then again, because we're eternal, we think we have a lot of time to waste. But eternally wasting time is not a good idea. Therefore, one has to come in Adal Guru Ashraya. One has to come in contact with Krishna's disciple succession. And it's not that it's simply a bunch of our group of persons who used to be here and now have disappeared. They're actually eternal personalities, and they eternally playing their role in the disciple succession. It's not that Srila Prabhupada has disappeared and he's no longer existing, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada no longer exists, or that other acharyas in disciple succession from the six Goswamis to the Panchatattva, as Krishna is eternally existing in his various forms, so our acharyas are also existing also, eternally. And if we come in contact with them, then we can know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Of course, just by remembering them, that's quite auspicious, but to remember their instructions is the purpose. To see things as they actually are. Or as Krishna says, Nanyan gunebhyas kartaram drashteva nupashyati gunebhyas cha paramveti madbhavam sodigachyati. When you see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature in all the activities, that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all of them, then you can know my spiritual nature. In other words, outside of Krishna consciousness, it's just the three modes of nature, which in their various forms. Unless we at least remember we're eternal and that not to get caught up in our temporary circumstances of gain and loss, then we're caught up in gain and loss. But if we remember, I'm the servant of the servant of Krishna and I have some duty to do. My duty is not to fulfill my material desire, my hankering and my lamentation. My duty is to find out what Krishna's representative in disciple succession wants me to do, and to do that in the mood of trying to please them as a servant. Then we're situated in eternality. Then our activities actually merge into transcendence. And as soon as we forget that, we're just servants of our mind, and usually our senses also, and usually our false ego and our perverted intelligence. And the result is we simply become bewildered. Yad ahankara ashritya niyotsi timanyase mityayasya vyavasayaste prakritis tvam yokshasi. If you do not act according to my direction, you'll be led by false ego, and still you'll have to act anyhow, Krishna tells Arjuna. Yad ahankara ashritya. If we take shelter of the false ego, then niyotsi timanyase, and you don't fight, Vityayas vyavasayaste, then you'll simply become cheated by the illusory energy. Or as Krishna says, that nunam pramatak kurute vikarma. Nunam, indeed, as an explanation point. Amazement. Pramatak, crazy. Indeed, everyone in this material world, they're crazy. Why are they crazy? Because they're working against their real interests. They're convinced that to gratify the senses is my interest, and yet it's actually the opposite of their real interest. It's like going to the store, a big department store, and shopping, looking for a rope to hang yourself with. And then, not only buying it, but buying it with cash. Because your credit card, you may not be able to pay it after you hang yourself. So, a sane person wouldn't spend his time in a shopping center looking for a rope to hang himself. So it's called pramatak. It's crazy. We think we're going to make a material advance, but we're digging our grave to Yamaraj. We're digging a hole to Yamaloka. Kurute vikarma. Why? Because we're performing vikarma. As soon as we forget our relationship with Krishna, that's called actually vikarma. Of course, the acharyas don't tell us that because we become very discouraged because we hardly ever remember our relationship with Krishna. But if, generally speaking, from the absolute point of view, as soon as we're disconnected from our disciple succession, we're disconnected not only from reality, but we're disconnected from anything that's going to be beneficial for ourselves. Of course, there are activities that will gradually help us understand that. Those called activities in the mode of goodness. But generally speaking, even activities in the mode of goodness, unless they help us become Krishna conscious, they're also considered a waste of time. Nuna pramata kurute vikarma yadendriya pritya aprinoti. So we, somehow or another, everyone is interested in satisfying their senses of their mind. And the false ego drives that because we think this is myself. And the intelligence gives us information how to do it. Some people get a lot of intelligence and they think I'll gratify my senses and mind by making millions or billions of dollars. And other people are just trying to get something to eat. But it winds up the same thing. The mouse in the house is thinking how to maintain his family. He has his wife with a pretty tail and his little mice children who squeak so pleasantly. And he's thinking, this is my house, a hole in the wall. It's nice. It's rent free. Food is available. It's nice and warm generally. And the man in the house is thinking, this is my house. And the king is thinking, this is my kingdom. And Brahma is thinking, this is my universe. But they're all doing the same thing. They're all in the same illusion that I am this body and these things belong to me. And on the basis of that, they're performing activities called vikarma. Just simply trying to gratify their senses. The sadhu manye, the whole Vedic literature is meant to make one a sadhu, sad, situated in eternality. Seeing things from the eternal point of view, rather than just a temporary point of view. Manye yata atmano yam. I don't think this is a good idea, Maharaj Yashavdev says. Because asanavi kleshada ashadeha. Not only our activity is going to be temporary, we're not making any gain towards liberation, towards getting out of our problems, but our very activities will cause more and more misery. Therefore, paravas tavada bodha jata, paravas. Then in the material world, everyone, there's the apavarga. Paravas tavada bodha jata. Bodha, paravas Tavada Bodha. One is said to be defeated by ignorance. Abodha Jata. Paravas means defeated by ignorance. Apavarga means that we're working hard, there's foam at the mouth, there's fear, and then there is exhaustion, and then there's death. Pa, ba, ba, pa, and ma. And apavarga is that which counteracts the material existence. But if one is not taking to the path of apavarga, then paravastava bodha jata. One has said, at one moment we may be dancing in ecstasy, next moment we're captured by the illusory energy and we're defeated. We're putting up our hands, we're victorious, next moment our hands go down and we're absorbed in the illusory energy. One moment I'm Krishna's servant, and the next moment I'm Lord Vishnu with two hands. Or the goddess of fortune. Paravastavarabodajata yavana jignasita atmatattvam. As long as we're not seeing things from the spiritual platform, from atmatattva, from the knowledge of the soul and the supreme soul, then we're being defeated, whatever we do. We're just accustomed to being kicked around by the material nature, so it's just second nature to us. We feel comfortable being beaten by the illusory energy. And the illusory energy says, I love you, come over here and I'll beat you again. Yes, Maya. I love you. Again. And why would we what's the defeat? Because as long as we're under the illusory energy, Jai, Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Paravastavad abodha jata yavana jignasita atmatattvam yavan kriyastavad idammano vai. Then our consciousness is covered. The very concepts we have about enjoying and controlling the material nature, those very thoughts cover our consciousness. They actually have power. They're not just simply, non-existent or ephemeral thoughts. They actually have power to cover us and drag us away from our consciousness of Krishna. So as soon as we become attached to them, as soon as we accept them as real, as soon as we become even afraid of them, it's not that we simply reject them. I want to stop thinking about this. And Maya says, oh, what do you want to stop thinking about? I want to stop thinking about that. Oh, really? Why do you want to stop thinking? And then you get into a whole pattern of thinking about the very thing that you're trying to forget, analyzing it and lamenting over it and whatever else. And then you can't, as long as we're either anxious to think about it, which is, then we really think about it. We make endeavors to actually think more about it. Or we make endeavors to forget about it. Either way, it winds up the same thing, attachment, aversion. And the result will be more and more entanglement. If we voluntarily accept it, this is what I want. I want to enjoy the material world. I want a nice husband. I want a nice wife. I'm going to enjoy or expand like anything. Children, house, properties, money in the bank, everything. And one becomes completely absorbed. And one was never going to be satisfied because there's no limit. Even the billionaires, they feel themselves poor. They need more. I need more and more. More power, more prestige, more money, more this, more that. And if we're against it, I'm renouncing it, then Maya will go, well, what are you trying to renounce? I'm trying to renounce that. Oh, really? And then we become more and more absorbed in what we're trying to renounce. So as long as one is absorbed like that, then the mind is covered by these thoughts, by these illusory conceptions. And our consciousness, we can't see things clearly. We may read about it, how ecstatic devotional service is, how enlightened the devotees are, but it's just like licking the bottle of honey. If you have a nice jar of honey, Doesn't matter how much you lick it, you're not going to taste the honey. It looks nice. You're sure it's there, but you can't taste it. So as long as we remain absorbed in these material concepts, then we are looking at Krishna consciousness from the point of view of a person licking a bottle of honey. Looks great. They talk about how wonderful it is to be in Vaikuntha. Unfortunately, I'm in hell watching Vaikuntha on television. And what's the result? That Paravastavadabodha jato yavandik jignasiratmatatvan yavankriyastavadidamanovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. Because I can't see things clearly, therefore, and because I'm accepting material conceptions of life, therefore I have to take one body after another. I have to accept one body after another. Of course, in my next lifetime, I'll get a completely different body. It's very unlikely I'm going to come back as my twin. So I'll get a completely different body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And therefore, evamana karma prasam prayungte avidyatman yupadiyamane. As long as one is evamana karma prasam prayungte, as long as one is defeated by this avidya, and one has avidya manifest as upadis, false identifications. I am this body, I am from Slovenia, I am from America, I am from the moon. You just don't notice my distinct features. I am rich, I am poor, I am male, I am female, I am black, I am white, I'm this and that. These are all upadis. Naham vipra na pacharana vtira naham vapi na sudra. I am not Brahman, I am not Shudra, I am not Vaishya, I am not any of these things. Naham vipra na narapatira naham vapi na sudra. That I'm none of these. Gopi bharata pada kamalayor dasa dasa anudasa. The whole aim of our Krishna consciousness movement is just to identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of Krishna. But not just superficially, yes, who I'm the servant of the servant, but I never find out what my master wants me to do. No, to actually be a servant, to accept a master, you have to serve the master, or else you're not the servant of the master. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted himself as a servant of the servant, in disciple succession of Krishna and all his devotees. Then, evamana karma prasam pranyukte avidyamat nupadiyamat. Then our upadis will go away. If we remember our acharyas in disciple succession and their representatives who help us remember the acharyas in disciple succession, who give us the information by which we can connect with the disciple succession. They're also part of the disciple succession, which makes all of us, when we're actually in Krishna consciousness, preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, part of the disciple succession. Instruments for Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness. Then, evamana karam prasam pranyukte avidimatma yupadiyamane Pritirna yavan maivasudeva. Then we can actually develop some love. Love means service to Krishna. Pritirna yavan maivasudeva. Navimuchate yena. You know, the last line says that as long as we don't have that, then we can't get liberation. As long as we have not developed love for Lord Vasudeva, so long we won't vimuchante yena, vimuchante something. So vimuchante means not liberation. And then one has to accept the material body. So sharira bandaha. Nimuchante yena sharira bandaha. So we have to accept one body after another. So for us, being an illusion, being covered by illusion, believing we're going to actually have a great material life and Krishna consciousness helping us advance our material existence. Best food, best everything, we'll have the best sense gratification. So, we're not afraid. Oh, I got to take another body. Big deal. So what? Then I'll get more prasadam. So this is not a very good idea. Namuchite yena sharira bandaha. To be bound, yes, better to become purified. Even if we have to take another body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not against taking another body, but we should be in Krishna consciousness. So we should give up these false identities. And even while we're in the material body, simply identify ourselves as much as we can remember, because our minds are being dragged away by the illusory energy. So we should remember I'm the servant of Krishna, and find out what my master wants me to do. My master being Krishna, and Krishna's representatives explaining to me through their teachings and through their example what Krishna actually wants me to do. So it's not that one becomes initiated and then my business is finished. Now my spiritual master has accepted my sinful reactions. Now I can accumulate some more before I surrender him to him again. That's not a very sane proposal. It's not, nor is it what initiation is meant for. Initiation is meant to help us work on the Madhyama Adhikari platform to actually develop Krishna consciousness. And without, to become a servant of Krishna and his representatives, and with that knowledge, learn how to become a servant of Krishna's devotees. And what is their service? Liberate, help elevate the innocent people, and defeat atheism. So if I'm engaged in that under the directions of Krishna's representatives, then my Krishna consciousness will develop. Otherwise, I may have a spiritual name, I may even have changed my address, but I'm still under the illusory energy. And everyone's admiring what a great devotee I am. Everyone appreciates me except for Krishna and his representatives. So that's not a good idea. We should be appreciated by Krishna and his representatives. And then if everyone else appreciates us or no, makes little difference. Of course, we do want people to appreciate Krishna, and we're acting as Krishna's representative. It's good that they appreciate us, so we should act in a way that Krishna's representatives are appreciated. But whether they do or not, that's not our business. Our business is simply to take shelter of Krishna's representatives and therefore make progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? We could have 10 minutes of silence.
For example, if you are engaged in service and you like, or reading and so on, and you want to like concentrate and like get into this, but you kind of can't just because of, I don't know, you are tired and so on. Or is like some other explanation for this?
Well, if you're tired, take rest. But dream of Krishna. I mean, it's not that we're about to fall asleep and we're trying to read. Someone says, take rest. No, that's Maya. If we're tired, of course we shouldn't take 20 hours rest. But if we're tired, take a little rest. But as far as concentration goes, sometimes it's just that we're in Maya, and therefore Maya is discouraging us from performing activities in Krishna consciousness. But if we do it, then we wake up a lot of times. But if you're tired, then stand up and see if after standing up, you're not tired anymore. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam. That if you're tired, then stand up, and if you're not tired, then after you stand up, then you weren't really tired. You're just being influenced by ignorance. As far as concentrating the mind, read something. For instance, Yuyam, and close the book. Actually, I'll read something here. The blessed messages of Lord Vishnu, the Yamadutta, said, if you're actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of the religious principles, symptoms of irreligion. Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? What can you repeat? Who's speaking? Yeah, well, it's something. You heard something. You didn't say it was about, you know, what's his name? President Trump was speaking to the White House, from the White House. No, obviously you heard something. So then you go back, so as soon as you find out you didn't hear something, so that's good. Then you can go back and read it again. That's why we have books. And you go back and hear it again. So you read something you haven't heard it, then you go back and read it again. The blessed messages of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Duta, said, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. So what did I just read? Who's speaking? I'll read it once more time. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Duta, said, so who's speaking? If you're actually servants of Yamaraj, who are they speaking to? Who are, in this case? The Yama what? Yes. You must explain to us the meaning of religious principles. So what are they asking for? You must explain to us the meaning of religious principles. You must explain to us the meaning of what? And the symptoms of irreligion. And the symptoms of what? Yes. So who's speaking? To who? And who they? What do they want an explanation of?
Explanation of religious principles.
And what else? What other kind of?
Symptoms of irreligion.
Yes. So? Now you pay more attention, right? So doing that, you wake up. So we actually hear what we just... Otherwise, you could read it and you go, yeah, next verse. We read the whole Bhagavatam. We say, what did you read? I can't remember a thing. Because we haven't read anything. We're reading and our minds are somewhere else. They're in with Peter Pan and Never Neverland. So we have to make sure that we're actually reading. We're actually hearing, so we have to test ourselves, see if we're actually remembering what we read. Otherwise, we may not remember what we think we're reading. We might even understand. We might get a completely different idea of what was actually being said unless we go over it. That's why they wrote that's why it's in book form. That's why we have the Maha Mantra repeated over and over again. And we should know what the symptoms are if we're actually repeating it correctly. Not that we repeat it over and over again. Schnick, schnick, Ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. And we're wondering, why am I not in ecstasy? So we should actually know what we're saying and what should be the result and see if we're getting the result. And we're not getting the result, we shouldn't blame it on the process. We should blame it on the fact that we're not following the process. The idea is when we find out we're not following the process, we don't go, oh, I'm so rotten, fallen. I can't follow the process. I'm the lowest. So I better quit the process and get into sense gratification. My only hope. Try one more time. Anything else? Yes. Are you not so sure about that? You need my confirmation. What happens if I said no? Would you accept what I said and quit the process? Well, are you serving to make yourself miserable? Do you think anyone's serving Krishna to make themselves miserable? Well, what better motivation could you get? Are you really worried so much about making Krishna happy? Do you know Krishna? So why? Yes, theoretically we want to make Krishna happy because we hear if we do what Krishna wants us to do in the right attitude, then we understand Krishna will become happy, and then we know we'll become happy. So basically speaking, in the beginning at least, we want to make Krishna happy because we know that will make us happy. Eventually, when we're out of the bodily concept of life, just as we want to make this body happy, eventually when we're in the Krishna conscious conception, then we'll want to make Krishna happy. But first we have to get to know Krishna. And we get to know him by following him, his instructions, and the instructions of his representatives. And that makes us happy, and therefore we get the higher taste, and therefore we go on trying to become, we get inspired, and then we learn how to make Krishna happier, and we follow Krishna more closely, and then we find it makes us happier. So that's in the beginning, that's what inspires us, enlightens us, and enlivens us. And eventually, when we're completely Krishna conscious, when we're out of the bodily concept of life, we have no other business than to make Krishna happy. Because there's nothing else for us to do. We've got to do something. Might as well make the Supreme happy. Because that gives us everyone unlimited bliss. So. Anything else? Yes. Depends on how you accept it, how you take the initiation. If you take it now, I'm actually making a vow to try at least to make progress to becoming the servant of the servant, eternal servant of Krishna, to find out from Krishna and his representatives what they want me to do and to dedicate my existence to doing that, my body, mind, and words. Try to become more steady and more enthusiastic about doing it. Then you make progress in devotional service. And if you take initiation, now my business is finished. Now I have my initiated name. I threw my grains in the fire, plus the banana. I'm purified. And now I don't really have to take Krishna consciousness so seriously because at the time of death, my spiritual master who gave me initiation sure to come and save me. He promised me. Then our destination is unknown. Initiation is a opportunity to be accepted into the disciple succession, to make progress into becoming accepted into the disciple succession. The spiritual master accepts us. Now we have to actually accept the process of devotional service that's being given to us, become a servant of that process. So essentially initiation is an opportunity to make progress to becoming conscious of Krishna. Yes?
Until we don't have a spiritual master, whose instructions should be followed?
Our minds. No, we're all following Prabhupada's instructions. It doesn't really matter whether we're initiated or non-initiated. Everyone has to follow Prabhupada's instructions. So, in our society, initiation is really, it's a commitment to not to serve the instructions of one initiating spiritual master. It's to serve the instructions of Prabhupada as they're revealed through our initiating spiritual master and all the other authorities within ISKCON also, who should be in agreement, by the way. If they're not in agreement, we're going to become really confused. So hopefully, as our society progresses, the authorities will be in agreement, so that an agreement with Prabhupada's instructions. He'll be able, and if there's a disagreement, they have to refer to Prabhupada's instructions to solve their disagreement. No one's instructions in our society stand by themselves. They're all in reference to Prabhupada. And ultimately, if there is some disagreement and they can't be solved, ultimately it's the GBC's business is to make a solution that's to the best ability as most closely as possible to Prabhupada's instructions, best they can understand. So we're all following Prabhupada's instructions. That's why we're here. That's why we're in the Bhagavatam class. I don't think our teacher from high school tells us to come here. We came here because Prabhupada wants us to be here, because our acharyas want us to be here. So we're following their instructions. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. And that's how we should choose who's our initiating guru, and we should choose who we take instruction from, according to Prabhupada's instructions. No one stands independently from Prabhupada's instructions, because there are Krishna's instructions in disciple succession. Not only he's officially our founder acharya, but and a self-realized soul, but he's the representative of Krishna in disciple succession. It's not that others aren't also representatives of Krishna in disciple succession. Anyone who repeats that same message, and as much as they're following, then they also become representatives of Krishna in disciple succession. They become instruments for our acharyas and Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kurandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.